The following program has been paid for by Vital Ministries of Oskaloosa, Iowa.
Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Sunday. I tell you what, August is almost done. We are staring it down, looking at September. Labor Day is on the horizon, and it is amazing how fast time goes. But again, hasn't it been a wonderful summer? We have seen some incredible things, enjoying the state fair, all the activities, the fairs, the different events that have happened amongst the different cities in our local area. It is great. I've come from Florida. I was in gone for about 6 days to visit my son, and I come back to Iowa, and folks, I've got to just tell you, I appreciate Iowa so much. I'm glad to be an Iowan. I'm glad I was born here. I know I'm going to die here, and God is good, and we have a great place in the midst of our state, and I hope that most of you have, that you can appreciate the same things. But before we get started this morning, we have a few things that we just want to get set up for you to know, different events that are coming along the way. And the first one is this morning. I just want to remind you, on September 8th, we're going to have the Vital Gathering. You don't want to miss. This is an all event for everyone, men, women, children, everybody. It's just going to be a great time. We're going to be at Debbie's Celebration Barn. And again, that's on September 8th. We're going to go from 5 to 7 o'clock. We're going to feed you right at the very beginning. We have some great food. We have a vendor that has done a wonderful job, and just to encourage you to be a participate in that. We're going to have great worship music. We have a band that is just fantastic and allows the presence of the Holy Spirit to come. I will give you about a short 20-minute teaching about what the application of how we can look at life. We're going to look at what it means, who are the real heroes in our life. So just some good things that are coming. You don't want to miss that event. Again, that's September 8th from 5 to 7 o'clock p.m. at Debbie's Celebration Barn. What a great time for everyone to join as we gather together in the presence of God Himself and allow the Holy Spirit to be with us. And I just hope you don't miss this great event. And it's also a great opportunity to invite somebody who doesn't know Jesus, but it would be a great way for them to come to know Christ in a greater way. So again, what a great opportunity. Also, too, 9/11. We are having our Vital Men kickoff. Man, it's hard to believe the ministry season is about to begin. At 9/11, we're going to be going from 6 to 8 o'clock. That's on a Wednesday night, 9/11, in Pella, Iowa. We're going to be at the well this year. We're looking forward to that. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have barbecue out front. Guys are going to be barbecuing. Men, who doesn't like barbecue meat? And we promise you great food. So you're not going to want to miss that event. Again, that's on September 11th. 9/11. We've picked that date for a purpose, and we think some great things are going to happen. We're going to have the worship band coming from the bridge down in Ottumwa. It's going to be great. They do a wonderful job in music. And also, too, Marty Schmidt is going to be our guest speaker. It's all going to happen from 6 to 8 o'clock, kickoff for Vital Men. You are not going to want to miss this event. So I just encourage you to participate in that as men as we go. Also, too, we send out devotional 6 days a week for both Vital Men and Vital Women. We have five different writers write for the men Monday through Friday. Don't want to miss that good stuff that comes in, gives you a nugget in the day, just a point of inspiration. Allow God to work and speak into your life. Great writers, five different writers for the men. My wife also writes for the women. A great inspiration. You can go out on vitalministries.org for all the events, devotionals, and all those things that are coming up with Vital Ministries and Vital Gathering are all on our webpage. So again, that's vitalministries.org. You don't want to miss out on all that great stuff. But today we're continuing our series. We're going to look at what it takes to draw close to God and what hinders us from that happening. People often ask me, Mike, what keeps me from having a real relationship with God? Then they will tell me that they'll give me reasons of why they can't spend time with God themselves. Too busy to read the Bible, too busy to pray, wanting something to hear from God, or the only time that they do pray is when something tragic, a horrific happening happens in their life. Basically, they're asking God to be their God only when it's convenient for them. Now, that is not a way to draw near to God, and those are the things that, I promise you this morning, are ways that separate us and keep God at a distance. Not that He does it, but that we do. See, folks, relationships take time. It's work, and that's how it is with God. We'll see today what it is to what the Bible says about how we can truly draw closer to God Himself. We are the ones that open the door, or we take the first step to have a relationship to draw with God in a deeper way of our life. That first step for to me is what we believe God wants from us is a pure heart. Do you hunger for God? This past week, I went down to Plantation, Florida, which is a suburb of Fort Lauderdale in Florida, and my son Brandon and his wife Jonna are planning a church there. They had their launch last Sunday, and I got to experience that. It was just a wonderful time. Almost 400 people showed up to the launch. It was exciting, and it was well done. What a great opportunity. Now, bear in mind, now Florida is a state that only has 3% of its population who attend church. I was blown away by that statistic, but hard, but true fact. Now, my son has been planning and praying hard that God can use him in the suburb of Plantation, Florida, where 92,000 people live, in a suburb. I've never seen him pray more into God's word, walking in faith more than he is right now in his life. He is drawing near to God, both him and his wife, Jonna, working to draw closer, and his heart is pure, and his motives are pure in what he's trying to do. But church planting, folks, has a big price. It's called hard work and blind faith. Many men and women in the Bible operated under those same conditions. Moses prayed and hungered for God's presence. Nothing else in the world's compared to his experience of drawing near to God. Matter of fact, God showed Moses his backside, his glory, because he wanted to see God himself, to go into a deeper level of presence. But God told him, "You cannot see my face, Moses, because if you did, it would kill you." Now this morning, let's jump in and let's look at it. Maybe today you're home and go open up your Bibles to James chapter 4. Or maybe you're on your way to church this morning. You take time to listen. We want to say, shout out a big thank you for that time as you take time on your way to church. Or maybe you simply turn to KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio dial. You are headed down the highway and you have picked us up this morning. I hope today, as we jump into James chapter 4, we learn to what it means to draw closer to God, that you have a truly experience of presence of God Himself. And I believe, folks, we have a word from the Lord today that is going to help impact and change our lives if we allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. So, without further ado this morning, we're going to jump into James chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 10. And this is what the word of the Lord says. "What is causing you the quarrels and the fights among you? Don't they come from evil desires that are war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even more, you ask and you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what you can give out of pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that the friendship with the world makes you the enemy with God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. And he gives grace generously. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for you for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor." See, James gives us a formula for drawing close to God. If you committed sin, confess it. Get rid of it. Put it under the blood of Christ. And secondly, James says, examine your heart, your motives, and the things that make you do what you don't want to do. Bring your heart under Jesus' lordship. Now, there's a lot there this morning, isn't there, folks? So let's look at confessing sin first. For some reason, it's hard for us to confess sin. We don't want to do it. We don't want to look at it. As if we think we can hide it within the depths of our soul that no one will ever see or notice again. In my experience of sin, it eventually gets revealed. The more we hide it, the more we find its way that it wants to come to the top. Truth always, folks, comes to the top. Recently, I had this man who had this sin in his life, which he'd covered up, and he hid it for over 40 years of his life. Now, this man, he was a Christian, a good husband, a good father, a good grandpa. He loved and served the Lord all the days of his life, but he knew he had this one thing that he had to work out of his life and get taken care of before God himself. He had his wife give me a call, and he wanted desperately to talk with me. So after his wife got a hold of me, we talked. So we got on the phone, and we started talking about this hidden sin. And I told him, let's let go of this sin. Let's see what it is. It's not something that I need to personally know, but let's take it to Jesus. Now, this man was older, and he was struggling in his words, and I could tell that his time on earth was limited. See, he was preparing. He was making things ready in his life. He wanted everything to be taken care of before he met the Father. I said to this man, because he's struggling with his words on how to pray, I said, sir, let me pray for you, and let me speak the words that I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to me that you want to have come from your heart. So he agreed with me, and we prayed, and this man confessed hidden sin. It talks about this in James chapter 5, verse 20. You can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back will save that person from death. Bring about the forgiveness of many sins. See, this man, I was having a private discussion about sin. He wanted to make all things right, to get rid of he literally wanted to get his life back in order. So he humbled himself and asked for help, not only from the Father, but from another brother, and became right before God. He no longer wanted to keep his sin hidden. Man, what a beautiful story. And it shows about how we can do that in our life, and how sometimes other people, other Christians, can help us confess sin, confess shame that's been hidden. We all bring our sins before Jesus. We confess, we ask forgiveness, but another man speaks of shame to another, and they bring it for God and brings about forgiveness for all sins. We just read that out of James chapter 5:20. This man died 2 days later. He went to the Lord. He was ready. He humbled himself before God and was made righteous by his faith in Jesus. He walked into eternity before God, a free man. Man, isn't that just a beautiful story, and a beautiful story of redemption, of how to live a life and how to finish well? Folks, when we humble ourselves before God, we resist the devil, and he wants you to follow his ways of the world, doesn't he? He knows that his destiny itself is hell, and he wants to take God's most prized possession to hell as well. And that's you and me, folks. Resisting the devil requires work on our part. He always entices us with sin in the midst of a moment, doesn't he? He always comes in moments. The key to these 10 verses, as we've read this morning, the first step is getting closer to God. God doesn't want divided loyalty to him. You are either all in or you're not. You can't live for the world and also live for God. That's just how it is. That's how it says in the Word of God itself. All of us have a choice. That is the choice that God gives us. He doesn't demand our love or our loyalty to him, does he? God is a gentleman, and he wants us to come to him. We take the first step. As the picture shows in Revelation 3:20, Jesus stands at the door and knocks. But if you always notice in that picture, you only see a knob that is not on the side where Jesus is at. The knob is on the other side, and the opening of the door is our part. Folks, what a great way this morning, in my mind, to see how sin can entice us, but also to how we can live a life of freedom of sin and literally draw closer to God himself. But we're going to continue this morning to point number two. Drawing close to God requires you not to judge. And I want to show you, there's just two verses here that talk about judging, and I think is really good for us this morning. Helps us to kind of look at things in a deeper way. It says this in verse 11, "Don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. God alone who gave the law is the judge. He alone has the power to save or destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor?" What a great word. See, there's a difference from discernment or discerning about someone as to judging one another person. I once heard a man who was in ministry come up to me. He said he was a fruit inspector. He was measuring a person's Christianity to the fruit that he thought they bared. Not what God bared, what God saw, but what he saw. But folks, I'm sorry, folks. This is nothing more than simply judging another person. This kind of action, a religious spirit, hurts the church and most importantly, hurts the people's view as us who are Christians. We got to be very careful of that. We have a big hurdle to overcome as Christians because people view Christians as simply judging people. My hope is that we can change that. And how do we do that, folks? We change it with one person at a time. And every one of us have that opportunity to make that change, that judgment view of how Christians judge other people, of how we can change that. Many of you know I work in construction and in the construction world itself, and you meet many, many, many different people, and we've been experiencing change in the industry. Now, in the bigger cities, you'll see those changes in race, but not so much as we do here in our smaller communities. But in fact, that is also changing. And with that, we see different changes. For the most part, in the construction world, it's been white Caucasian male men working. But now that day is changing, and we're seeing more of the Hispanic workers coming to the job site and doing work on the different projects. And again, it's even more so. It's already there in the bigger cities and in different states. And it's time that we get rid of this judgmental question about our Hispanic brothers. I will get asked often, are those people that you have working, are they legal or are they American citizens? Now, I think as I look at that, and I only hire credible subcontractors who hire Hispanic workers. My experience is that these Hispanic men, that they are hard workers. They want to earn a better way of life, and they love their families. Without a doubt, we need to have regulations in our country. I totally agree with that. I fully support our president. But that does not give us a right to be judgmental towards people in which we don't know their stories. Did you hear me about that? I'm going to say it again. That does not give us a right to judge those people who are doing those jobs when we don't know their stories. Folks, as Christians, we are called to be kind. Can we have compassion towards our fellow man, no matter what race, religion, or even their political party they're in? Now, I'm talking some pretty tough stuff this morning, aren't we? Especially as we get ready to head to the 2020 election. A lot of judgmental things it's already pounding us on the TV and on the radio. God, folks, is the final judge. He has the power to save or destroy, as James says. I'm challenged this morning by these words, and I got to confess to you that I've judged as well. I ask Holy Spirit to help me every day in my judgmental words and in my judgmental thoughts. Having a judging spirit keeps us from drawing closer to God. Jesus hung on the cross and didn't pass judgment on those who crucified him. Matter of fact, he calls to the Father and he says this, "Forgive them for they don't know what they are doing." Basically, he's saying, "Lord, I'm not passing judgment. They simply don't know." But let's finish this morning. I think this is some good stuff and also challenging us as Christians about what God can truly do and change our hearts so that we can draw closer to Him. Point number three is this. Drawing near to God requires your obedience. Now let's look at these final verses this morning and see what it says. Starting with verse 13, it says this. "Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like a morning fog, and it's there for a little while, and then it's gone. What you ought to say, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, we are boasting about our own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. And in the final verse, it says this in 17. Remember, it is a sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. See, this is important here, folks, and please hear me this morning. Apart from God's will, life is not my story. It can only be when I'm in the center of God's will. It's only when we ask Jesus to be our Savior and we seek His will that we begin to understand God's will for our lives. Have you ever asked yourself this question? I didn't see life going this way. I think everyone has and can relate to that very question. Our physical world all around us is always changing, isn't it? I think of this past week in Iowa. On Tuesday morning, Iowa experienced an F1 tornado in different parts of Iowa in the southern portion. I think about those folks that are over in Tracy, Iowa. They go to bed on a Monday evening, and they get up on a Tuesday morning to a storm to only see to wake up and things have changed around them and destruction has happened. Their world was changed in the moment overnight. Their visual, their physical circumstances changed. Anyone who has went through a storm and has had any kind of damage can attest to what I'm saying. I realize as I get older, I get that life is every day is a gift. And I thank the Lord for my wife every day. She is a good helpmate. We work together, we love together, and we do family together. We are both in our second marriages, and at times both of us could say, I didn't see life going this way. But we both never thought that we would have stepchildren, but God had another plan. And I'm thankful to share those moments with her that God's will is always good, and He always sees the greater picture of our lives if we choose to draw closer to Him. We also see these verses of brevity of life itself, that life is simply a vapor compared to eternity. When we are young, we see life altogether different, that it actually could be endless. I can remember looking forward to getting married, having children, and doing life. Folks, it has been going in a blink. I'm no longer considered a young man. And especially when you realize that when you get your ARP card sent to you when you're 55. Your body moves in places that you don't want it to move anymore. And now I'm a grandpa, and I have 7 grandchildren all the way from 8 months to 12 years old. It goes in a blink, doesn't it, folks? But this is what I've learned. I've learned that life is short, that everything that we do in life positions us in eternity itself with those who call Jesus Lord. My time on earth is closing in. It's time in my life to speak into the lives of those who are younger, the next generations that are following, the things that I've learned, the things that the Holy Spirit has showed me, and how Jesus has helped me in the midst of my life. We are called to obedience to following Christ and doing. But the thing that strikes me is verse 17. When I finish this morning, it strikes me, and I hope it strikes something within you. It says this: remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Quite a verse to ponder on. I believe that God is always giving us moments with other people. This past week on the night when I flew in from Iowa into Florida, visiting my son and his family, we went for supper and we went to Chick-fil-A, and it was just a great time, a family place. I love Chick-fil-A. You go there, it's always clean, food is always good, and I tell you what, they have over-the-top hospitality and service. They have figured it out. And I love going there, and I love to take my family and my grandchildren there. But that evening, we had this opportunity where we're sitting with this young woman, this young Hispanic woman. She's from Venezuela, and she had her daughter that was with her. And she started sharing her story about her life, and we're having this moment that's all of a sudden happening in our lives. And the kids are off, my grandkids are off playing in the playroom, and her daughter's off and playing in the room as well. And then she starts sharing her story. The reason why she's in America versus living in Venezuela. And she's living here all due to the fact about the controversy and the things that are going on in her country. She has actually been granted asylum to live in America. And for her to come to America, it was at Florida, and she's doing life there. She lives with her aunt, and she was sharing her story, and she pays $400 a month to live in a bedroom with her daughter and doing life. And she was sharing with us about how she does two jobs and how life has been hard, but at the same time, she's away from her family. The majority of them all live in Venezuela, and due to the fact of the things that are happening in our country currently, that they can't freely come in and go out, they have to have a special pass to come in, and I agree with that, but it separates them from their family. So she works a second job, and she was sharing with us, and she says, every year I work extra to make $500 so she can bring her mom from Venezuela to visit her over Christmas time. And she spends a month with her, and she sacrifices in order for her to make extra money to bring her mom there, because her mom doesn't make that kind of money. And she was sharing her story, and the Holy Spirit was really working with me, and she was sharing how she was going to bring her mom to come in September because it was her daughter's fifth birthday, and she wanted her mom to be with her on her fifth birthday. So all of her money that she has made, but now her mom can't come at Christmas. And she's saying, I know I can't make money fast enough in order to make it so her mother could come. So we get ready to leave, and the Holy Spirit's really working on my heart. And again, it comes back to knowing what you should do, the Holy Spirit speaking. And so I stepped into a moment, and I gave her some money. And she looked at me. She says, oh, sir, I can't take that money. I can't. It's your money. It's not something I can take. And I looked at her and said, young lady, I said, this was a moment. The Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart. Please take this. This is a part of the money that you can raise. This will help you to get your mom to come to America during Christmas. She wept and she sobbed, and we parted company. And the next day, this was what was so cool about the whole story. Her mother from Venezuela searches out and finds my son and his wife's webpage about Vibrant Church on the website. She calls them and she tells them this. She goes, you have impacted my daughter in such a way. I just want to thank you for how you're helping her. See, the young girl was really looking for community, really looking for somebody who actually cared, that could do life. And we have these moments in our life where we can step in, but a lot of times we're afraid because what people might think, or somebody who we don't know, or they're a different race. Folks, I'm challenged by moments about I don't want to get before the Lord, and God gives me these moments and I walk away in fear and not step in because of omission. See, the sin of omission separates us from God. God wants us to draw closer to Him. So I hope this morning, as we looked at these verses in James 4, that we get a glimpse about truly what it means to have a relationship to draw closer with God Himself. I hope today that you're encouraged. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, again, I want to thank you for this day. I pray and we confess sin, the things that we don't do in our lives that keep us away from you. Maybe there's somebody this morning that needs to have that prayer. Lord, I have sinned. I want to confess it because it is separated from you and me. We can do that today. We thank you, Jesus, that you're mighty to save and you're mighty to forgive. And we love you and we praise you. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, I want to thank you for listening. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.